Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, all fired up and ready for the rain. But where is it? Tom Fairbanks on the other side of the glass, engineering and producing.
It's
Tom,
toying with us.
Well, you know,
you look to the east and you see this line of clouds over there saying, where's Tucson? Over there? Well, we're not going over there.
I mean, I left here Friday because you work with me Wednesday through Friday. So I saw you last Friday and I thought, you know, the prospect of rain, I thought we're going to have a really moist, wet week. It's midweek already, and
they were saying 50-60%, and they're still going with 50% over through the weekend. And
well, we've seen this story before. I would not be surprised if they downgraded that next to 30% chance. I mean, at one point, we're talking about 70% chance of rain.
You know what I think it might be, Bill? Yeah. I think it may be the heat has to build during the day, and then the rains and the thunderstorms come in the afternoon and evening. That's my hope.
Well, we'll see what happens. We're in the 11th year here, 10 and a half years, really, officially on the radio in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. The radio station that we come to you on is 1030 Tucson's Voice. For trusted news talk, worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com, we piggyback the live feed from kvoi.com, which is a 24/7 service. Our live line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management, and we're going to get the ball rolling and go right to the live line. And our opening guest is George H. Amos III, known to his friends, and I'm one of those friends, as Hank. Hank Amos, a fourth generation Tucsonan. He is the CEO of Tucson Realty and Trust, which was incorporated under the laws of the Territory of Arizona on December 22nd, 1911. And the company adopted its very distinctive bullseye as its logo. Hank with us now on the live line. Hank, how are you?
I may have a bad connection, but thank you. And if I do, I can call back in.
I think it sounds pretty darn good right now. You're not on a speakerphone, which is that's one thing, an advantage. But you sound good right now. If we do lose you, call us right back. Yesterday, Diane Marzoni, who is the current president of the Tucson Association of Realtors, gave us an excellent overview of the residential real estate market. And Hank, as you well know, something is happening in this market that's never happened before. We are having bidding wars on residential properties. The seller will put up their asking price, and then it is typical to have at least six, maybe up to a dozen folks getting involved in a bidding war. I know you've never seen anything like it before.
It's been crazy. And, you know, you look at what's happened, the average year from January, it's up 19%. And the inventory, which at the beginning of January, about this time last year, was about 2,300 homes. It's now 910. It's the same amount of homes that are coming on the market as it was before. But what's happened is they're selling immediately. Is really down, but the prices are just going crazy. They're going up. For volume sales, we're up $5.2 billion compared to this time last year. We were at $6.7 billion. That's a 59% increase in volume.
You know, you are cutting out a little bit. I don't know if it'd be best. Would it be better, Tom, if you call Hank back? Would that work better? Your cell phone.
I'll call you right back. Okay,
call me right back. All right. Hank Amos with us on the live line as we get ready to find out what's going on with the commercial real estate scene. And as I say, Diane Marzoni gave us a really good overview of what's going on in this red-hot market, the real estate market. So my first question when we get Hank back on the live line is to see whether or not that is translating over to the commercial sector of the real estate market here, because Hank, that's one of his areas of expertise, and that is all about commercial real estate. For years, Tucson Realty and Trust had the had a residential real estate component as well, but then they went all in on commercial real estate. Hank, are you back?
I'm back. I think it should be better. Thank you.
Okay, it is better. So, as I was just explaining to the listeners, my first question to you, is this this red-hot residential market translating to your area of expertise, commercial?
Yes. So, you know, we're having record times in residential real estate, and the same is happening, and it's transcending down to commercial real estate. And mainly because of commercial real estate, it's the sales that's occurring that's creating this hot market that we're having right now. And you have investors all over the country trying to chase yield or looking for income-producing properties. And in doing so, they're all over the country looking for this type of property. And Tucson has been historically, our cap rates have been higher. So the higher the cap rate, the higher the cap rate, not as expensive as the property. Okay. When the cap rate goes down, then the value of the property goes up significantly. And so we're seeing investors come from all over the country investing in office buildings for sale, retail, specifically triple net, apartments, which continues to be the darling of commercial real estate here in Tucson. And the cap rates have just been going down, 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 which means the values have been going up, up, and up, because we're getting all these investors from all over, mainly California, coming here and buying our real estate. So it's created a really hot market for us.
Let's talk a little bit about the retail scene. And one of the very interesting pieces in the Wall Street Journal about the seven ways the world has changed. And one of the things that they focused on, one of the seven, was that the pandemic altered the buying habits beyond return. But they are saying don't count out in-person shopping centers. Shopping centers are not going to go the way of the dinosaur, at least in the foreseeable future, are they?
No, they're not. But department stores, they say, I think up until 2025, maybe 50% of all department stores may go out of business. And what's happening right now is there's this, I wouldn't say a war, but you have this the spike between e-commerce and bricks and mortar. And so you think about Amazon being the e-commerce, and everybody's using Amazon. But what they're finding out is people actually do want to go to the stores and try the product on, whatever they're looking for, or shop a little bit. So we did see stores, especially the value-oriented stores like Target, Ross, TJ Maxx, they did really well. But the high-end stores like Neiman Marcus and Brooks Brothers, they didn't do as well. Walmart did well. Costco did well. So there's going to be, I think, and the article was correct, where it's not dead. People are going to come in and they're going to take a look at things, but there's going to be a balance between e-commerce and bricks and mortars.
What areas of the Tucson, what sectors that you cover are kind of lagging? In your overview, you said everybody, it seems like it is that residential red hotness is carried over into commercial. Are there some laggards out there, Hank Amos?
There is, to a degree. So, you know, office buildings are selling. You know, if it's a good investment, it's selling. But office space leasing has lagged a little bit. And obviously the pandemic had something to do with it. Now we're starting to see activity kind of pick up. But, you know, vacancy is a little bit over 9%. And that's kind of high, you know, for office. The interesting thing is rates are starting to go up a little bit. And that may be because some of these buildings are selling and they have to go for more. The downtown market is the strongest, but what's really lagging is the east side market. So that's the weakest and all. But we're starting to see leases happening and people going back to the office. So there was this feeling that, you know, office is going to get destroyed and everybody's going to be working at home. But what they found out over this past year is that productivity actually went down. Culture, so, you know, everybody, you know, that team, that sense of team and culture, that deteriorated to a degree. And the training, but new people, they come in, but they can't go down the hallway or talk to a manager or talk to someone and get some help. So they're realizing that, yeah, it was great for a while working at home, but it really wasn't that great. And then you had the people that were working at home, and they wanted to have that separation between work and being at home because they found they're working all the time. So, you know, we're going to see people coming back to office. It's not going to be, you know, dead like everybody thought, but it's lagging. And then retail's lagging a little bit too, especially some of these strip centers and all, because a lot of these small businesses went out of business, right? And they can't get a loan. The PPP helped a lot of people, but you saw retail lagging a little bit. But vacancy is not as bad as everybody thought it was going to be. It's around 6% or so.
All right, Hank Amos, stay on the live line with us. Your connection sounds really good. You're loud and clear. We're going to take our break here. We'll first begin with Mona's Danish Bakery, my favorite bakery in town. They are open right now for lunch. And, of course, they open in the new summer hours, 6:30 in the morning. You can have your breakfast. They are shuttered on Monday, so Steve can take a day off. They've been doing very well. Find out what all the excitement is about. Mona's, home of the Danish Kringle, that light and tasty multi-layered pastry has made Mona's very famous. They're at the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle. The website, monasdanishbakery.com. We continue with Hank Amos, CEO of Tucson Realty and Trust, on our live line, which is presented by Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. We'll be right back.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson. Tucson International Airport.
Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at veroamorepizza.com. A Citizens Advisory Committee of the Regional Transportation Authority is starting to review projects submitted by RTA member jurisdictions for consideration for the next RTA plan. The committee will consider plan goals and performance factors as they move into the selection process. The RTA will seek public feedback on the committee's draft plan when it is ready. Learn more about plan goals and sign up to stay informed at rtanext.com.
Why is mining so important? It's the foundation of everything that defines a society. Everything you see is a product of mining. No matter when, no matter how, no matter why, every society on this planet has developed, grown, and modernized based solely on the minerals it could process. That, my friend, is why mining is so important.
Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition. Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Welcome back. A little new bumper music for the Buckmaster Show. Almost said the Bump Show. Tom Fairbanks put together some new bump music, and I like what I hear so far. Sounds very good. We're in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio. Green Things is over at 3384 East River Road by the Rito River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. It's a 13-acre site, and they have everything you could possibly imagine for your garden, including some beautiful garden accessories and pottery. And of course, then there's Zocalo Village, with all that great merchandise from Mexico, Latin America, and Europe. The website for Green Things is greenthingsaz.com, and for Zocalo Village, it's zocalovillage.com. Our live line, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Hank Amos is with us on the live line. Hank is the CEO of Tucson Realty and Trust. We've been talking about commercial real estate, and we've also been talking a little bit about a very interesting article that was in the Wall Street Journal over the weekend, Seven Ways the World Has Changed. And one of those ways, Hank Amos, is what the Journal calls a great reshuffling. Far-flung U.S. communities are filling up with former city dwellers who have money to spend. These moves will reshape transportation, real estate, and an emerging fixture of American lifestyle. So is Tucson one of those areas that's going to be benefiting and is benefiting, Hank?
Most definitely. And there was an article, I think it was in Forbes last year, that talked about the communities that were going to really boom after COVID, and Tucson was named as one of those communities. And what you're seeing is individuals, white collar, basically leaving mainly, you know, blue states where the lockdowns were pretty severe, right? And or maybe the cost of living could have been too high. So it could be in San Francisco or New York or wherever. And they said, you know what, I want to go somewhere where I don't have to go through that again if there's another lockdown that may happen. And I want to go somewhere where maybe I can sell my home and I can move to a community that's not as expensive, and Tucson is very inexpensive to live. And there's this big flight to the West, mainly rural communities, but areas like Tucson as well. So Arizona's done very well. Idaho's done very well. Montana, Wyoming, Utah. These are states that have really benefited from this flight where people are kind of leaving. And then you have a lot of these folks that can work remotely, maybe because they're you know, independent contractors or whatever, and they don't need to be in the office. So you're seeing this flight come in here, and they're coming with money. So they're selling their homes maybe in California or wherever, and they're coming here with money, and that's one of the reasons why our market is doing so well. I mean, it's the influx of people moving to our community. We also don't have a lot of inventory, so that always drives prices. But the West has done very well all throughout the West, and Tucson's one of the beneficiaries of that.
Well, some of these people, as you say, they're selling homes in California, and then they look at our real estate, which we, you know, sure, the prices have gone up, and to some of us here in town, it may feel high, but for people coming over from the Bay Area, San Diego, and the high-priced California real estate, this looks like bargain city, Hank Amos.
Well, it is bargain city, and they can come, you know, to our communities, and they're pretty much open. You know, I think it's just recently that California has relaxed some of its lockdown rules, right? And people want to enjoy themselves again. And there's another thing, too. It's called quality of life. And you're seeing individuals or couples leaving the big cities because they want that quality of life that a smaller community or more of a rural setting can provide. So I would say the flight from blue states to red states, the quality of life, the price, those are the main drivers of individuals or couples, you know, moving to communities like Tucson. And Tucson is definitely a beneficiary of all that.
I want to leave real estate for a moment because you did serve two terms on the Arizona Board of Regents from, I believe, 1992 to the year 2000. And one of the things that came up in this Wall Street Journal article about seven ways the world has changed is about higher education. This whole thing about remote learning, Hank, is threatening big time the profit margin at universities and colleges across the country. I would like your comments, please.
Well, I think it kind of already started before the pandemic came. I mean, the cost of the universities or private colleges across the country are just, you know, off the charts. I mean, you're spending 50 grand, 60 grand or more, and people are starting to realize that, you know, where's my return of investment?
Yeah.
I can't get a job to get that, you know, to pay back my loans, and 10 years later, people are still paying back their loans. So there's been this movement to online, and before online, you know, education was seen like, yeah, I don't know, a little sketchy. It's not the same as maybe getting a degree from University of Arizona, but you have some prominent universities that have moved into this space and have done very well. So you look at like Purdue. I think they have a thing called Purdue Global, ASU, which we were involved with that. Actually, NAU is doing it first, but then ASU kind of jumped into that and really took it on because, you know, when I was on the board, we said, hey, I said, this is where the future is. And we have to look at this because everybody can't afford the college or have the time to do that. And I think online is where to go. So they really got involved in that and they've done very well. But I think the problem, main problem is that universities and colleges have really priced themselves out of the market.
Mm-hmm.
And it really had nothing to do with how much does it cost to run our university. It had, you know, well, I'm looking at my peer institutions. So in the Ivy League, you know, Yale's looking at Harvard, Harvard's looking at Princeton, and they're saying, well, they moved up their prices, so we have to move our prices. And there was a lot of that going on. And I do think that some of our universities, they're empire builders, the colleges, they're separate colleges within a university. And your costs can go up kind of dramatically. So unfortunately, what's happened is the online experience for a lot of these universities that were teaching their students online, the quality or the of experience for the student wasn't as good. So I was speaking to students, and they said, I didn't really learn anything.
Wow.
And it was tough. So, you know, and it made people start thinking, like, why am I paying full freight or paying, you know, where I'm not in class? And I'm not getting that normal experience that I used to have. So I think the universities are going to go through a major pricing structure, and I think they're going to have to move their prices down a little bit. I don't know if online really works for everybody because a lot of students want to experience the college experience, right? And go to school,
sure.
Experience, be in class, join a fraternity or sorority or whatever it may be, you know, going there. But it has to become more affordable. And when you have competition, these online schools like ASU and Purdue and others that are going to get very proficient at it, it's going to cause the prices, I think, to go down. And you know, I think there's going to have to be something done with aid. It's the ability to get grants and aid. Well, I wouldn't say grants, but aid from the federal government was just too easy, and that drove the prices of education up. So there's going to be a realignment that's going to happen, and our universities are probably going to structure something like online. It's going to be this price. You come here, it's going to be this price. But the prices have to come down because you're going to see more and more students as it becomes more acceptable. Because when you get a degree from ASU, it didn't say, I got my degree from ASU online. Yeah. It said, I graduated from ASU.
Yeah.
And so when you're talking to an employer, that's where you're at. And then you have companies like Google doing their program, the certificate programs, where you can learn whatever it is that you want to learn. So be a plumber or whatever it may be, and they'll issue a certificate. And they're going to push that when you apply for jobs and things like that. So there's going to be competition for our universities and colleges across the country, and they're going to have to figure out, because they're just overpriced, and I think that pricing structure is going to start coming down.
Yeah, so in the remaining few seconds, we've been talking about these changes, how the world has changed since the pandemic. But I think one thing with these trends, Hank, and I think you would agree with it, the trends were there. The pandemic has just accelerated it. Wouldn't you say that's the bottom line?
That is exactly what happened. It's exactly what happened. So for retail or college education, it was already happening, right? But it didn't force, the lockdowns forced everybody to use Amazon, right? And Everybody started ordering and doing DoorDash and doing all that stuff. They weren't doing that before, but it forced them to do that, and it brought it to the forefront. And the same things happen now with college education. They went online, and they're sitting there, the parents are, or the kids are by themselves. So why am I paying $50,000? I don't need to do that.
I know.
And so you're going to see that, and it happened.
Got it.
And there's going to be a big change coming on.
Excellent remarks. Thank you very much, Hank. Always a pleasure to talk to you. Enjoy the rest of your summer. Thanks.
All right, you too.
All right, Hank Amos with us on the Buckmaster Show, midway point of our midweek edition of Buckmaster. Coming up next, travel talk with Ryan Hansen. Boy, lots to talk about there. Be right back.
Enjoy the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley. Savor the view while sipping on locally brewed craft beer and enjoying gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, at West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and on the web at noblehops.com.
Have you ever imagined how your life would be without the modern conveniences you rely on every day? Everything you need depends entirely on products produced from mining. Without mining, think Stone Age. Your work commute might be a bit slower, but you could still have social media. Bathing shouldn't be a problem, but it won't be in a tub. So unless you're a caveman, you can see everything that enriches your life depends on the many miracles from mining. Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge, The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com.
Reed Park Zoo is now open for wildlife walks, a modified guest experience, prioritizing social distancing and safety. To find out more about all the changes and the new safety precautions now in place, visit reedparkzoo.org. The community-approved 10-year master plan ensures that your zoo's future is brighter than ever before. We've missed you, and so have the animals. They're waiting to welcome you back to the Reed Park Zoo.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studio, our live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. I am so excited about the next half hour. I love talking with Ryan Hansen for our monthly segments, but so much has been going on in the travel just over the last 30 days. I said, you know, we got to do a double, a bonus segment with Ryan Hansen to talk about so much going on. Ryan Hansen is the president and chief operating officer of Bon Voyage Travel, which is Arizona's premier agency since 1976. Bon Voyage Travel experts, they know the business like the back of their hands. They can create that trip, the trip of a lifetime for you, or they can create a trip just coming out of the pandemic and getting you out of the house and going somewhere domestically. There are three Southern Arizona Bon Voyage offices, River and Campbell, Green Valley and Oro Valley, bvtravel.com. The first stop in making your travel dreams come true. Ryan, good to see you with me in studio.
It's great to be here. And Bill, we don't often talk about this type of travel, but there's a segment that I'm going to introduce a new segment of travel on your show today. I don't think anybody's talked about it.
Go for it.
Lots of people know about honeymoons.
Sure.
A new emergent trend that's in the last 5 to 7 years are baby moons, and that's for the pregnant mother and their spouse or partner to be able to travel right before the baby is born, that last trip before a baby enters into the household. I've got a new one for
What's
us today. A pandemic moon.
Wait, there you go.
It's time to come out of the pandemic with your trip just like you would on a honeymoon right after the wedding, and we can definitely help you get that done.
And I bet if you went to one of our airports, which have been packed lately, and you surveyed travelers, I bet a lot of them would be in that category you just described.
Yeah, and this weekend is going to be just like that.
Sure.
I took a business trip last week. It's only one of three business trips that I've taken in the last 15 months, and the airports are filling up. The experience on the plane, so many people are familiar now with the social distancing and the masking mandates. It didn't feel that awkward for most, I think, that we've been living with it. But you look at the busyness of the airport. Chicago this weekend is going to have a huge surge of travelers. They will lead the charge for Independence Day travel. But how about this? 48 million people will travel this weekend for Independence Day travel. That's a 38% increase from last year. So we're on the right track for travel in regards to airline trips. And most experts were predicting, Bill, that air travel wouldn't return to its 2019 levels for possibly 3 to 4 years.
I knew that was not right. It just did not feel right to me. I knew, I felt in my bones, there was so much, my broken bone, my broken right arm, that travel was going to rebound in a big way, because people really were there wasn't a lot to do during the pandemic, and a lot of them were just online dreaming of travel and trips.
And these types of trends are leading to possibly Labor Day of this year could eclipse Labor Day of 2019 in regards to air travel. And I think it's an indication of the resiliency of the American public. I think it's an indication of the evolution and the science and the data of what we've learned on how not just to fight this dreaded disease, but how to live with it, which I think is really more of what's going to happen for all of us moving forward, is how do we live with this and other types of diseases like this? And that's exciting for not only the health of the United States, but the economy, and obviously for us in travel, who we have been impacted pretty dramatically as much as anybody outside of the health industry for sure during the pandemic. That's the most exciting news, is that we can get our clients back onto their vacations.
Where are your clients? Where do they want to go?
You know, right now, most of the people, if they're looking for short-term travel, it's close to home destinations still. It's domestic. Where can I drive? Where can I fly easily where I don't maybe even have to lay over somewhere? Sure. And I'm looking for a socially distanced experience still. I'm looking for a national park visit, which we've talked about. Looking for a resort vacation, or, and we do make these trips, the home rental market is out there. So if I go to a vetted place that someone else's home that I can isolate myself, it still feels like a vacation. That is the summer of 2021 travel still. But what we're talking to clients now about is further out booking. People are planning vacations for next year. And this is not a shameless plug, Bill, but it is a factual, data-driven point. Europe travel from North America in 2022 is estimated to be three times what it was in 2019. What does that mean to you as a dreamer of traveling to Europe next summer?
It means
you better book now, right?
You better book now. And it also, that pent-up demand that I had felt in my bones was happening with domestic is there now for international. There are a couple of stumbling blocks that are going to go by the wayside, and one of them will be, you know, when you do travel internationally, trying to get the COVID test to return. I expect that's not going to be around all that much longer. Things are going to be changing. And look what is happening in your industry, how the travel industry, your colleagues that are in the business, what are they telling you right now?
They're telling me that people are interested, and very much so the number one question is, can I go somewhere? And if I do, what are the security measures? What are the safety protocols that I'm going to have to encounter? And the challenge for our staff, but I can see even more so for the general traveler, is keeping up with the change.
Yes.
And it is either you need a vaccination only. They're only accepting vaccinated travelers on a certain date, be it a country, or in cases like Hawaii on July 8th, will open up their restrictions.
That is
so
huge.
Huge
for Americans.
Because
they had some very strange, I mean, it was, each island had different protocols, and there were some issues about quarantining, and some people would arrive not realizing about the quarantine, and then they had to actually turn around and go back. It looks like Hawaii's back.
Hawaii's back. And that, if you are looking for something this summer, that would be definitely an option for you. But the testing requirements, if you're not vaccinated, do vary from country to country, the number of hours you need it, or maybe you don't need it at all if you're vaxxed. If you're not vaccinated, there are still some steps, but I do predict that you are thinking the correct line of thinking, which is these protocols over time will get better with herd immunity, with more widespread vaccinations. I mean, even Hawaii, like we mentioned, there was a target of 70% of the Hawaiian population needed to be vaccinated before they would open up.
Right.
It's at about 58% right now, and the governor said, we're going to move forward with July 8th. So even short of the goal, there's still a sense based on the other numbers of hospitalizations, ICU beds, et cetera, all the science we've been talking about that you and I would have never concerned ourselves with back in 2019, but that is a real issue. Those numbers are leading the leadership of the different states and countries to move to a more open environment. Switzerland's going to be just opened yesterday, I believe.
Great.
Spain, Italy, Greece, all open to U.S. travelers. So those small doors that are opening up are exciting. And by the time if you were looking at 2022 Europe, I would venture to guess your experience will be very little impact from COVID in regards to museums being open.
Right.
Can I go to a restaurant masked or unmasked?
Right.
This summer, I still think there is going to be some challenges. Mm-hmm. While those countries are open, you're going to want to know, and that's why you would come to us to have an understanding, can I go to these museums? Is my trip going to look the same as what I'm envisioning it would have been pre-pandemic? Those are still things this summer that travelers are going to have to be flexible and adaptable to the new protocols.
And one of the things that's emerged out of the whole pandemic era is that you do need someone who knows what they're talking about when it comes to travel and travel planning. That's why there has been the renaissance of travel agencies like Bon Voyage Travel.
Yeah, and it is obviously an important field, not just for realizing your dreams,
sure,
but now it's protocols. It's, is my deposit refundable? Can change my airline
what
ticket?
What about insurance? The whole thing.
And we love to phrase, not to correct you, we yes, call it travel protection.
Travel protection.
You're protecting an investment. Don't you do that for just about every large
everything,
investment you make?
Sure.
I have home insurance.
Yeah.
I have car insurance.
Yeah.
I have life insurance.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you? Yeah. Have vacation insurance as well.
We'll pause right here with Ryan Hansen of Bon Voyage Travel. It's bvtravel.com. Next up on the Buckmaster Show, we're going to take a deep dive into a segment of the travel industry that was very, very hard hit during the pandemic, but has now bounced back. Cruising is back. There's a huge pent-up demand among the cruisers that want to get back on the sea, and some of them are already back. We'll talk about that with Ryan after this.
Are you searching for a sumptuous suite on the Italian Riviera, an exploration of the mighty Mississippi, or an indulgent spa in Cancun? Bon Voyage Travel will help you find exactly the vacation you're looking for anywhere in the world. With many cruises setting sail in over 1,100 hotels and resorts to choose from with our exclusive benefits, Bon Voyage Travel's experienced advisors are here to guide you every step of the way. Visit bvtravel.com or call 797-1110.
MedCare to You is a new Tucson-based concierge telemedicine urgent care, specializing in caring for our patients in the comfort of your location. We deliver your prescriptions and even provide in-person visits with our dedicated staff. It's convenient, quick, private, and your personal information is always protected. Find out more at MedCare2UAZ.com.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Hello, I'm Jeanette Bewley, President and CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority, with news of our new effort to ensure air traveler safety and security going through our terminal. It's called TUS Cares, and you can read more about it on our website, flytucson.com. As you carefully weigh your decision to fly, I want you to know whether it's next week, next month, or next year, we are here for you at Tucson International Airport. Thank you.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. To prepare for ongoing project delivery, the RTA board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to select projects for a new draft plan. The committee will help identify which projects to invest in to best meet regional transportation needs. Learn more about plan development and provide early input at rtanext.com.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. This portion presented by our friends over in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. They are back with travel over in the Land of Enchantment. If you're wondering where the rain is, it's over in Silver City right now. Hopefully we'll get some. But look at these temperatures. Beautiful in the Mile High City, 5,000 to 7,000 foot elevation. And it really shows 72 degrees right now at midday over in Silver City. And the temps look real good. Around 80 degrees for the highs, mid-50s for the lows. Only a three-hour drive from the Tucson area. They've been a great sponsor of ours, and we send so many of our listeners over there, and they come back and they say, I had a great experience, Bill. Start your planning now at southwestnewmexico.org. It's a great weekend getaway for you. We are talking travel with Ryan Hansen, an expanded edition of our monthly insider travel talk. And the reason I wanted to expand it is because, Ryan, there is so much to talk about. Ryan is Chief Operating Officer and President of Bon Voyage Travel, Arizona's premier agency since 1976. One of the big segments of the travel industry is cruising, Ryan, and some people don't really understand how important the people in your line of work in the travel industry, that connection with cruising.
Yeah, cruising is complicated. It's not just do you want window or aisle on an airline flight, where we see that. You know, most people feel comfortable booking and reserving their own airline ticket. But when you're talking about, again, an investment into a vacation, you're going to be in that stateroom for a week or longer. Mm-hmm. Your experience from breakfast, lunch, dinner, entertainment.
It's your home on the road.
It's your home. Yeah. So wouldn't you want an expert to guide you through that?
Yeah.
What's interesting, and when I talk to people in the community, they're proud of Bon Voyage. When I tell them how long we've been in business, 45 years this year, celebrating our business milestone there. But at the same time, I think they view us as, oh, you're just a cute little local business. Mm-hmm. But when you add up all the agency business of vacations booked and dollars booked through travel agencies, in 2019, that represented $117 billion.
Wow.
So this industry is robust. It is important. And 66% of all the cruises globally that have been traveled in 2019 were booked through a travel advisor. And so because of that complication, and that was pre-pandemic,
I was going to say, I expect that number to escalate, because now more than ever do you need somebody to help you navigate getting onto a ship and the way that it's playing out. And I want to talk about how has the return is officially here, isn't it?
Yeah, we're not just talking about this yellow brick road that we're going to
be
follow
in
the future, right? This past week, we saw the first big ships setting sail out of a U.S. port in 15 months. Celebrity had a ship and Royal Caribbean as well, and everything has felt normal. Now, why has it felt normal? And I can tell you 100% of the passengers on the Celebrity ship were vaccinated.
Wow.
100% of the crew vaccinated. And so you think about this, Bill. What place in Tucson could you go to that would be a public place that 100% of the population was vaccinated?
I can't think of any.
Not a church, not a mall, not a movie theater, not a restaurant.
No.
Keep going.
I.e. comfort level is there.
Comfort level is
relax.
High, right.
Yeah.
And I don't anticipate, and so let's not paint that picture that it's going to be like the bubble of travel. It's going to be lower than that. But most of the travelers this summer, the bookings that we're seeing and that cruise lines are reporting back, it's a higher than 95% population being vaccinated. And as long as the cruise lines maintain that 95% threshold of vaccinations, and many of the 5% gap are children that are either not eligible or not wanting to from a parental decision, they do not have to abide by the conditional sale order of the CDC, which would be the traditional, I'd say traditional, the social distancing, masking in public places. So your experience on ship in that setting is going to be normal to you, with no masking and public spaces being wide open. If you are unvaccinated on a small handful of ships that will allow it, and again, that's why you come to a travel advisor. We could spend the next hour talking about which ship is requiring vaccination, which ships are not, is it at 95% or not. If you are unvaccinated, you can cruise, but you will be subjected to some additional protocols, as you would expect, additional testing protocols. There will be some masking issues for you that you'll have to follow, and there may be some public spaces you just will not be able to access. So it is going to be a slightly different experience for you. I don't want to discourage an unvaccinated person from traveling or cruising now, because there are opportunities for you. You just need to know what's in front of you. And if you're unwilling to take that plunge this summer, as we've mentioned, I anticipate some of these protocols lessening in the future. Feel free to make your plans, and lots of flexibility with payment structure and refundable deposits if you want to put something down for the future.
Ryan, what about destinations? And I'm thinking about Alaska. Has the Alaskan, I know there was this issue about not launching a cruise from Seattle and bypassing Canadian ports.
That's right. The Jones Act, there is a law out there that was prohibiting passenger vessels from sailing, let's say, from Seattle to Seattle on a round-trip trip, a cruise, without touching a foreign port.
Like they had to stop at Victoria or Vancouver. So what's the latest?
And the latest wording is Canada is not allowing passenger vessels. So that's eliminates the opportunity to touch a foreign port. The Jones Act, however, has been repealed for a time until February of 2022. The United States government, the House of Representatives, the Senate decided we're not going to enforce that law. So there are cruises that are embarking at the end of July, August, and September out of Alaska that would be Seattle-Seattle round trips without the stop in Victoria or Vancouver. So your Alaska cruise experience is still available to you.
Can you accommodate those people at Bon Voyage?
Absolutely.
That want the,
ready,
you know, they've
ready
had
to
enough
handle
now
that
the
now.
Summer. They want some of that lovely Alaskan cool air.
Yeah, I would. It's not. I look at it in a couple of ways, right? Okay. I get to experience Alaska. Yeah. I get to get out of Tucson. One of the tug of the heartstrings for me is those Alaskan ports that rely so heavily on the tourist market.
Ketchikan, Juneau.
Will they be there without travelers? Probably not if they were looking at two summers of no revenue. So if you're thinking about it and you want to do it, that may be another reason for you to think about just those local people that are reliant on the traveler. And hey, maybe a cruise isn't for you. You can still go to Alaska.
Yeah,
and
like
we
I
have
did.
Those types of packages, just like you did. Don't fall like Bill did.
No.
We'll take that off
don't
of your
take,
itinerary.
Don't take the Buckmaster fall.
We won't have that excursion listed on our itinerary.
It will be called Watch Your Step in Alaska. So from the Miami area, where are these ships now sailing?
They're sailing all over the Caribbean. Not all Caribbean ports are wide open, but you can sail out of Miami. You can also sail out of a Caribbean port. You can sail in the Bahamas or Bermuda if you're looking for that. Multiple options, not fully wide open, as some of the countries and the ports are still changing and still even cruising. Flexibility and adaptability. If you've always wanted to go to Cozumel, it's open now, but just in case, you should realize there could be a change, and the cruise lines have options to adjust an itinerary. So you just have to be flexible with that potential change of a cruise
itinerary.
One of
my favorite places in the whole world, the Bahamas, not just New Providence where Nassau is, but the Out Islands, some of the most beautiful islands in the world. And the Bahamas have changed now their protocol in a very positive way, just show proof of vaccination. And that is being nicely fitted into what the cruise businesses are doing.
Well, that. There's no doubt that even though many people have seen the legal issues in the state of Florida with can you require a vaccination in a business setting, irregardless of that, the vaccination and the widespread distribution is unlocking travel. I'm not saying that everyone has to do it, but if you want the full suite of options for you on your vacation, I would recommend that if you get vaccinated, you're going to have more options than not.
BVTravel.com, what will folks find there? And better yet, what happens if you call up Bon Voyage Travel?
You're going to get connected with an expert that's going to provide exemplary service, unbelievable expertise that you just couldn't find even if you Googled it yourself. But more importantly, we form a relationship with you. So, Bill, if you love sun and sand, we're going to fit you with the right place. If you want an all-inclusive resort opportunity, we're going to find you the best value for that meets your needs. And that's what we want, long-term relationships.
All right. Thank you very much, Ryan. Always a pleasure talking travel on the Buckmaster Show.
Thanks, Bill. Great
Thanks
to
a
be
lot.
In.
All right. That'll wrap it up for Buckmaster on behalf of Ryan Hansen and Tom Fairbanks, hitting all the right buttons, as he always does. Have a great afternoon, everybody.